Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John,
yeah, mate.
I just did a podcast, right?
What?
I just produced a podcast.
Oh, fine.
And a guy on it was a breathing expert. He's worked with Wim Hof. You know Wim Hof, the Iceman?
I've heard of Wim Hof. Yeah, he's one of the people I follow on Twitter.
As I scandalously revealed in a previous episode. If you're new to the show or forgotten in an episode recently, I think the Jason Reed episode, for my great intro that I always do for John, I went through he follows 200 people on Twitter and I went through them. And shocking results. You won't believe the third one on the list.
Nice.
Podcast clickbait. No one's done podcast clickbait yet. I'm going to start doing it. You won't believe what happens in minute 17 of that podcast. Yeah, but a breathing guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he taught me a breathing technique to get energized.
Go on.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm going to talk you through this now like I'm a fully trained breathing guy. And also,
is
confession.
This spoilers when I for the podcast?
Confession. When I saw that on the sheet that they booked a breath guy,
yeah,
I thought he was going to be talking about halitosis. And I thought I'd have even more tips for you. But no, he was doing breathing. So what we're going to do, John, and if you're listening at home, you can do this as well. We're going to do 60 seconds of energizing
60
breathing.
60 seconds?
Yeah, but we'll cut it down. What you'll do here when you edit it is you'll do the start and the end breath, but you and I are going to do it for 60 seconds, okay?
So to the listener, it's going to sound like we've just gone...
Yeah, exactly, but we'll be so fucking energized, they'll know something's happened. Right, I'm going to get...
It's going to be a fun nut.
Right, so you do three sharp intakes in your nose, like... And then you go, sigh. And you just keep going.
For a minute.
You,
this
mate,
is going to be the worst thing I've ever
You're going to feel high on life. Are you ready?
Yeah,
one,
sure.
1, 2, 3. We can stop there. That's 20 odd seconds. That's fine.
20 seconds. It felt like 3 minutes.
Do you feel great?
Oh, I feel different.
When we were doing it and he was like coaching us, he was like, don't worry, you're not going to hurt yourself. You can breathe like this for hours. And I thought, fuck, imagine I'd rather die than have to breathe like that for hours. What a mad thing to say.
Disgraceful.
Anyway, if you're listening to this on your commute in, you've just energized yourself and you're going to have a great day. If you listen to it before you go to bed and you've done that,
bad choice.
You're not sleeping. You're not sleeping.
To this podcast before going to sleep, I would say you shouldn't be sleeping anyway because of the hilarity.
The electric chat.
That should have been the name of the podcast.
Electric Chat.
Yeah.
That's going to be our spin-off project. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. We're energized, John and I, because of that breathing exercise. We're feeling alive, we're feeling vibrant. It's Friday afternoon, everyone's very excited. I've just eaten some sweet popcorn.
I just had a glass of Dubonnet.
John's had a Dubonnet. Now, a few points there. Interestingly, we've started the podcast halfway through the intro, intro will also come later on. We're mixing up the form. We're playing with it. We're like nearly 2 years into this. And also, fuck you. We can do what we like as an intro, can't we?
Yeah. You wait till minute 3 of the
intro. Our editor's going to kill us. Yeah, you just wait. Anyway, so we're all feeling very energized. Anyway, you know the Dream Factory. The rules are simple. Every episode, you send us film ideas. We send us film ideas. And we discuss them. And we, to much hilarity, I would say, most of the time. But only one idea each episode can be taken to the next stage, whereupon it will be our final idea for 12 months as the Dream Factory podcast serves a podcast transfer window ban. I'm Joel, a man who puts the Y in Jamiroquai as you wear all of those silly hats. And across from me is John Harris, a man so concerned about the thinning of his hair that he started passing by his local stables in the dead of night and taking cuttings from unsuspecting thoroughbreds. John, do you deny it?
No.
Would you rather be bald or have a horse's hair? Tweet us.
Horse's head.
Oh, great. That's hair all over. The energy's high, John. Let's keep it high. Let's keep it alive. Let's keep it locked in and loaded. Give me a film idea.
This one comes from... No, I'm not going to do that one. That will bring the energy way down. This one comes from friend of the pod, Stu.
Oh, hello, Stu.
And recent recipient of Picture of Me.
Yeah, so listeners of the podcast, you guys. that's a good point. Whenever they say listeners to the show, they're only addressing listeners to the show, aren't they?
You.
Yeah, last week I drew a little sketch of John. And we said that the first person to tweet us the word biscuit would be sent the drawing. And that's happened. And now it's in County Armagh in Northern Ireland.
There you go. Framed and on a mantelpiece.
It's pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah. Brexit Ralph. Have we not done that before?
We've done it before, yeah.
Ah, well, then let's just move on. But thank you, Stu. This one from Alec. Attila, Queen of the Desert. Attila the Hun is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Do you know anything about either of these reference points?
I know about the Hun.
Okay, cool. So Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is an Australian film about drag queens, but that's all I know as well.
What do you know about Attila? Oh, no, I know about Genghis Khan.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're so, I mean...
Sorry, guys.
That's...
I'm always getting them confused. 2019. Are you getting them confused?
It's not very woke of you to get them confused, I would say.
What? So now, what's the thing that you get confused with all the time?
In general?
Yeah.
Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan.
No, but similar to that. What are things that you think are the same but aren't?
Football and rugby. Imagine.
Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan. Good. Okay, so I assume Attila the Hun was some sort... He led some sort of empire.
Yeah.
Were they Hungarian? I'm going to have a wild stab in the dark.
Yeah, this is good. This is good.
So he was a Hungarian Attila.
Yeah.
What is Attila?
Attila's part of a boat, isn't it?
No, that's a sail.
Yeah, sorry. I get those mixed up a lot. Like
that's
Attila the Hun and the
Genghis. That's a rudder. Was his name Attila or was he Attila?
Oh.
You can till the fields, can't you?
Attila sounds like a slang word for like someone who works
in a
the
shop.
Tills. Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. I'm Attila.
That's good.
Beep.
Someone who is a long lost descendant of Attila the Hun is working in, I don't know, Safeways. This film's set in the 90s.
What happened to Safeways?
It was bought by Morrison's.
Good.
I think.
Info.
Yeah, because there was one in Strood and it shut down. And briefly became a Netto and then was knocked down.
A Netto?
And next to it is an Aldi. Mate, the town of Strood has had, I reckon it's had every supermarket. It's unbelievable.
I don't even have a frame of reference for a Netto.
I think it's mostly a northern thing. It's basically the Aldi of the north. But then I don't think it is anymore. What I know about Netto is they were one of the first supermarkets to pay the living wage.
Oh.
So shout out to Netto.
Big up, Netto.
I just raised my fist in solidarity with Netto. I think that kind of covers Attila the Hun, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah. What about this one from Rachel? Crystal Maze Runner.
Nice, okay.
The twist is it turns out that it's not a dystopian future at all, but an elaborate set for the 90s game show.
Or maybe one day these contestants just got left there.
So
in the Crystal Maze.
They just all went home.
The whole crew went home on the last episode.
Left a team in.
And left a team in there. And... They formed a whole society around where they were. They thought all there was the Crystal Maze.
What's your knowledge on Crystal Maze? Is it part of your childhood?
Ish, yeah. Weirdly, not as big as part as Fort Boyard.
Same, but I think that's... I thought I was attributing that to my Frenchness, but apparently you're...
Why? Because
it's
got a French Dirty
show.
Den in it.
No, it's
Fort Boyard's not a French show. Give me a break.
The Dirty Den version is a British version of the French format. It's like a reverse Deal or No Deal.
What was it originally called?
What do you think it was called?
I don't know.
Le Fort Boyard.
Wow.
That's called Fort
Boyard. Did it have a tiger in it with the gold at the end as well?
Yeah, and the
same... And Dirty Den?
And the,
What's Dirty Den in French?
No, it had like a same old wizard man. It had lots of... It had, the people with the keys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think same ones. They're probably French because they didn't speak, did they? So I think they were French.
Oh, they got work for a long time.
Exactly.
They did every international version of Fort Boyard.
Probably.
They're probably still doing it now.
Yeah.
I had a meeting at a production company a little while ago, and they were about to do Shipwrecked. And they said that the islands that Shipwrecked are on, they just go and tout them out as these islands for reality TV. And they've built these islands for reality TV. And they'll go to these major conferences, and it'll be a Japanese game show. Go, we'll buy it for a month in July. And then Shipwrecked moves in, and then someone else moves in.
It's the same island.
Yeah. It's all the same island.
Reality.
Isn't that crazy?
Island.
Yeah. Isn't that quite cool?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I assume that all Shipwrecked...
It's like a film studio, isn't it?
It's not when It's when it's the Japanese game show. It's not the Japanese game show where they eat things and it's potentially chocolate or it's potentially a doorknob. It's still island-based stuff, right?
You could do that on an island. That's where the setting of that one doesn't sound particularly important. Like the famous slippery stairs.
That would be good, though. It's shipwrecked, but some of the coconuts are made out of chocolate and you've just got to find them.
That would be great. That would be great. And some of them are made out of just like MDF. when I was in Japan, telly is... It is like, you know, you think when you're here, you think, oh, we just get sent the maddest stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's constantly mad.
Oh, that's so
it's mad at any time of day. Completely mad at any time of day. At one point, we turned it on and when there should be adult programming, it was a children's program around an animated rapping backpack. Rapping. But it was like animation within the real world. And the so backpack just kept rapping in Japanese.
So it's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but the bag is animated.
Yeah. It's so good. At one point, you know, the footballer Neymar was just up against like 100 kids at challenges. And he did not know where he was. It was like, Neymar, can you kick down a drone before these 100 kids eat you alive?
You know that famous question that we did a bit about a while back?
Yeah.
So it's 100 kids or Neymar?
Yeah, that's basically every Japanese TV show. Yeah, it's great. Can't recommend it highly enough.
First to eat a Viennetta, probably 100 kids.
I don't know.
First to do 100 keepy uppies.
Yeah, but each kid would only have to do one.
Wait, there's nuance. They have a ball each?
They have a ball each, yeah.
And they just have to kick up and they have once.
Yeah. But they're idiots. They're blindfolded.
Yeah.
And Neymar's got an extra leg.
So actually 99 of the kids kick it the first time and one misses immediately. And then the kids screwed.
Well, they can have another go, can't they? But they're all blindfolded.
Exactly, so they're trying to find the balls.
That sounds great. And Neymar's just there jet-lagged in the corner, repeatedly doing kick-ups. Honestly, he looked like he'd just been flown into this TV set, told to take just like go with it for an hour, Neymar, and then you can go back home to Paris. Anyway, I think that's...
Crystal Maze Runner.
Crystal Maze Runner. Would you like one from me?
Yes.
This is from Tom. Tom's been a regular contributor.
Friend.
And friend of the show.
Still no enemies, just for the record.
You're
free to apply.
We'll take you down. This is one of those BBC news stories
that turned it into a
film.
Yeah.
The news story was just that Facebook have appointed a fake news regulator. And Tom sent us the film pitch. This summer, Matt Damon is the fake news regulator.
Oh, nice.
It's quite good, isn't
it? Yeah. I like the casting. I feel like we don't get people giving us casting enough. I like that. It gives us a bit of a drive, direction.
The regulator, you can imagine that being like his cool name.
Yeah,
can't you?
So,
it's like a cool spy name.
So he's doing an office job looking after fake news at Facebook in the day, and then he's creating fake news at night. It's like a cottage industry.
Nice, because he earns it on a story-by-story basis.
Yeah, yeah. He's on commission, one story at a time.
And his fake news has to get wilder and wilder as time goes by.
Yeah, he does it with a gun. Although Matt Damon's not a really gun kind of guy.
Have you seen the Bourne films?
Apart from the Bourne films.
Have you seen that one that isn't a Bourne film that basically is, but in a war? The Green Zone? The Green Book? The Green Mile? Green Hornet?
The Green Zone sounds like a thing from Mario.
No.
Oh,
Sonic. Safari Zone. No, that's Pokemon. Zone Nightclub. A previously open but now shut down nightclub in Medway. Anyway, Matt Damon, fake news regulator.
Yeah, and is what's the big like twist, and what's the kind of like everything's going fine, he's getting more and more successful, he's contributing to the fake news but also taking it down in the day, and they think he's so bloody good at it because obviously he knows how to find it because he put it there
exactly.
I assume the like bit three quarters of the way through is that there's like evidence that he's going to get caught.
Yeah, but or... at the end the twist is that Zuckerberg knew all along that it was him. Have you got another one?
What about this one from Jason? The never, ever, 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 ever ending story.
Isn't that a bit of a Kanye West song?
Is it?
No. Forever, ever, forever. Can you read that in the style of Kanye West doing Diamonds Are Forever, please?
The never, ever, 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 ever. But he's doing a bit on Outkast, isn't he, kind of there?
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, and then 76, the producer, commented, never ending story, runtime, 1 hour 47 minutes.
Yeah, but that's not fair because the story never ends. We just see 1 hour 47 minutes of it. That world exists before and after that.
So what you're saying is the never, never ending, ever, 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 ever ending story is actually the one that already exists.
Yeah.
So
it's life, guys.
What about this one from Emma? The cider mouse rules. Never seen the original film, so I imagine it's about a permanently tanked, probably dropping out of college rodent, but he rules. And then she's put the like rock fingers emoji.
Oh, cool.
A mouse emoji and some beer emojis.
Nice, nice. Okay. So a drunk mouse. It's a bit like Ratatouille, but he hasn't really got any skill apart from drinking Scrumpy Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you saw a mouse down a pint of cider, you'd be impressed, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd be really impressed. Oh, a pint?
I was really...
How much fluid can there be in a mouse? Imagine how bloated it would be after that. Would I be impressed?
I'd be constantly pissed.
It'd be like you drinking a water butt full of cider. Wouldn't it? You got a water butt? I bet you've got a water butt.
What the flip is a water butt?
Don't you know, mate?
I don't know why I censor myself.
It's a big bum-shaped contraption that you have in your garden. It's not shaped like a bum.
Oh.
But it's like a big barrel that siphons water that overflows from your drainage.
Yeah.
And you use it to water your plants and such. The water butt. This podcast is sponsored by Water Butt.
I'm sorry to move on so quickly from Emma's, but this is the big bums thing is relevant. So I'm going to move to this one from Lem. Baby drivers got back. I really like it. Says,
pull up to my bumper, baby. Okay.
So it's the film Baby Driver.
Yeah.
But the cars that he has to drive have to be specially fitted out for his massive ass.
His big ass. That's great. That's really good. What's the name of the lad in it again? The actor.
Oh, Ansel Elgort.
Ansel Elgort becomes Method. And he gets silicon implants. He gets a massive ass for this role. You hear about Christian Bale putting on weight. That's nothing compared to what Ansel Elgort's willing to do for a part. He grows his ass to the size never before seen on a human, but the rest of him stays exactly the same.
Yeah. So is it implants or is it squats? That's what the press will be saying.
Yeah. It's actually one of each in each cheek. And there's lots of airbag jokes.
Oh, nice.
Of course there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe at one point they hide all the cash in his ass. Oh. What?
Just feels
it's silicon, so they don't... You can't fit anything. There's a big flap they pull down. Pop all the cash in.
Oh!
And they're like, what's the problem, officer? Just a big bummed dude.
Don't judge. Don't judge him.
Oh, that's very rude of you, officer. Actually. He's got a massive ass. How would you accommodate a massive ass in a car? You'd probably just take the seat out. There's enough padding to have your own seat, I imagine.
Wow, this is a really big ass.
Yeah, how big are you? Now, talk to me about how big you're imagining the ass. Because what I've got in my head is ludicrous. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, it can't fit through doors. Every door in their hideout's got a special cutout section around the ass.
And everyone else in the getaway vehicle has to sit on the other side of the car.
To counteract the weight. Yeah, I'm way ahead of you, mate. Especially all that cash in it.
When he turns corners, it's like sparks.
That's where they're saying an arse full of cash comes from.
Ansel Elgort.
Yeah. Oh, how much they pay for that job? An arse full. You never heard that before?
No, because he just made it up.
Did I tweet us?
Start using it in day-to-day language and see if we can get an arse full of cash.
Yeah, like if you go to a particularly expensive coffee shop, they try to charge me an arse full for this cappuccino. It could be a new thing. Well, maybe we're innovators.
Well, maybe. Mm-hmm. We're definitely innovators, Joe.
Yeah, we are.
It's just whether what we're making is needed is the question.
No one ever says that about the innovators. Yeah. They just get praised for innovating.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Have you got another film idea?
Can I just say, Joel, you're doing doodles. We're not sending them to listeners anymore. This is all over. Yeah. Stu got the pet picture of me.
Do you not think that will ever happen again?
Maybe one.
What about when this podcast is like 20 years old?
Nah.
We'll be nearly 50.
What about this one from Bark D, The Full Montgomery? I assume Monty Burns from...
Why did you assume that?
Mr. Burns. Oh, because she told me that's what it was. What other Montgomery is it?
Colin Montgomery, the golfer? That's what I thought of.
There's a place in America called Montgomery, right?
Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one the president's on.
There is an episode of The Simpsons where Monty Burns gets naked, so I feel like they've already done that.
Because he's got the alien glow.
No.
Oh, a different
He gets
one.
Painted. Marge what? Paints him nude.
Oh, sorry. Does a portrait painting. I thought he got like body paints.
Oh, that'd be sexy. Wouldn't take much. He's such a thin, fragile man. He hasn't got back. You could probably stick him in Anthony Gott's ass. What about this? This is from a friend of the pod, Mark. Strand by me.
Okay.
So, look, let me tell you why that's fun. Mark and I are from the same town.
Oh, Mark. I know Mark.
And what's interesting about that, he wasn't a friend prior to this. He's a friend of the pod.
Yeah.
We existed in the same town, but we didn't mix in the same circles.
Oh, it's like Romeo and Juliet.
We were probably actually in rival gangs.
Yeah.
It's not like Romeo and Juliet, because they get together. I'm saying I don't know who this man is.
Oh, sorry. Well,
I haven't seen him through a fish tank. Yet. Anyway, the Strand is a local leisure centre. And we've covered a lot of Medway's leisure centres on the podcast.
Unreal.
It's amazing there's any left. But the Strand is arguably the epitome, and also the whatever the opposite of epitome is.
I don't know. This is the first time in the podcast where both the film idea and Joel going off on a tangent about his childhood are the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's amazing. Well done.
That's kind of where this has been going, isn't it?
Yeah.
Should we just shut up shop now? We've both earned an arsehole of cash out of this. We might as well just wrap it up. Anyway, The Strand. This could be a unifying thing for people listening. They might have had one of these when they were a kid. It was like this. It was sort of on the river, but it's the estuary, so it's quite a big bit of river. You can see Essex over the way, but don't let that put you off. And it had sandpits. It had like a lazy river you could go to. It had a pitch and putt. It was like the go-to place.
I know you said sandpits, but I heard Sam Pitts, and it sounds like a Roald Dahl character.
He ran it. Sam Pitts. He sold the ice cream.
He was called Sam Pitts, but he was also really smelly, which was convenient.
It was handy, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Did you have anywhere like that you used to go as a kid? Hang out?
Yeah.
Where did you hang out as a kid? Where did you hang out as a kid?
Parks.
Yeah?
There's a park behind my house.
What was it called?
Question.
Oh, mate, you never went to that park. What did you call it? The park?
The park. The wreck. We called it
the wreck. Everyone's got a wreck.
Oh, now you're on board with me.
Wreck-It Ralph, but it's set in a big childhood park.
Yeah, we called it the wreck. Yeah, it was behind the house.
What did you do there?
So there was like a little wooded bit behind it, so you'd kind of go there and throw stones.
Cry. You'd go there and cry. Where everyone was playing football in the wreck. What would you throw stones at? Your feelings?
At other stones.
Yeah. Isn't it weird that like...
And then I'd go home and stand in the garden and play swing ball by myself.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
You've got two brothers.
Yeah, but I didn't like playing against people.
Were they also
people.
Playing their own swing balls?
Really hard.
Did you have three swing balls in the garden and all three of you were playing on your own?
No.
Isn't it weird that like boys just throw stones at each other and stuff?
Yeah.
It's kind of mad.
Mm.
But also really exciting. More of it. I encourage more of it.
What are we talking about?
Strand by me. And imagine that place, but they find a dead body there. Right, John, have you got another film?
Yeah, what about this one from Con? Tinker Tailor Soldier Queer Eye.
Perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah. Look.
Who's going to be the best spy out of them? I would say Jonathan's going to be a bad spy.
Oh, is that how you imagine it?
Yeah.
I was thinking that British spies have been dressed so badly for so long.
They dress quite well.
Yeah, I didn't mean badly. I meant the same.
Oh, fine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's getting stale.
They're famously dapper.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
It's getting stale. They need freshening up. And also, they don't talk about their problems enough.
They need... I've just got an idea of like a really uptight Gary Oldman and like Karamo in a car trying to talk about their feelings.
That'd be great.
Toxic masculinity and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be there for it. And then by the end, the whole of the British Secret Service is wearing like floral print white shirts with a French tuck.
And they're so happy. But then the entirety of the British Secret Service falls in on itself.
But they're happy, so...
But exactly, that's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good message.
James Bond can't survive in an age of toxic masculinity. That seems to be the problem, doesn't it? The script has been written 5 times. Well, have you seen the everything that's going on about James Bond this week?
Yeah, isn't it called Shatterhand?
I'll get into that. They keep bringing in writers to salvage it. What's the original script? They've had so many people write on it. It's now been announced. It's called Shatterhand, which apparently
it's a Dream Factory.
It is, isn't it? Apparently, that's in a book. That's how everyone's justifying it. It doesn't justify it. It sounds like shitting on a hand. It's so rubbish.
It sounds like he's shitting on a woman's hand. Shat her hand.
I didn't think of that. But look, whatever you're into, mate, we're not here to judge.
Between two consulting... Consulting. Consenting.
Interesting.
On hand shitting. What can I say?
It reminds me a lot of the time. I ever told this story about when I didn't have any loo roll?
No.
Well, that's what it reminds me of. I didn't shit on my hand, but I ended up with shit on my hand. Maybe I'll talk about it in the at the end of the podcast.
Great. I guess. Stay tuned.
Have we got Pip's Corner? Is that still running?
Yeah, Pippity Pips. This week's Pippity Pip is pun-ish. So I guess
I thought you were saying it was like... It's a pun-ish. Waiting for the title, but it's pun-ish. Yeah. We're scraping the bottom of Pip's barrel here, aren't we? There can't be many left. What's that? An idea isn't just putting breaks in a film title.
No, but it's like ish. It's like The Punisher.
His punishments are a bit rubbish.
Well, he's just like, he can't commit to anything. He's like, should I ground
someone?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
Grounds them.
Yeah, so his punishments aren't as severe as killing them. He's dishing out punishments left, right, and centre, but they're not death.
I don't think anyone outside of a parent has the right to ground someone.
Oh, so you're telling me if the Punisher came around and told you not to leave your bedroom for a week, you'd disobey that, would you? Is that what you're saying? If a superhero came around to your house and said, John, if you leave your bedroom within a week, I'll murder you. You go, only mum and dad can say that to me. Is that what you do? So you're wrong, aren't you?
Yeah, fine.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
If Theresa May knocked at your door and said that Her Majesty's government demand that you stay in your flat for a fortnight,
yeah,
what, you'd leave the flat?
I'm more likely to than if Punisher told me to, let's be fair.
Elect Punisher in the next general election. I mean, he's out of work. Netflix have cancelled his series. A career in politics beckons.
I would vote.
No, you can't imagine people electing a former TV star into a position of power.
No.
Satire. Good bit of satire, that.
So that was a bit.
Were you ever grounded as a kid?
Was I ever grounded
I don't
as
think
a
I,
kid?
I think I was threatened with it a few times.
Punishments in my house were more like, you can't play the N64.
Yeah, because that's the problem. It couldn't really ground you because you're probably in all the time anyway, playing your video game.
Yeah.
They were like, well, you're going to have to go out. Yeah. If you do that again, you're going outside. Yeah.
You're going to have to make friends.
I can change. I'd love to have been grounded, so then I could have made a ladder out of my bed sheets and climbed out the window. I'd done it even if I lived on the ground floor.
I remember one time when I was like a later teenager, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe 16, 17. Me and some mates went out and one of them literally pretended to go to bed. And then snuck out of the window, came out on a night with us. And I was like, I didn't do that because my parents were like pretty chill. But the idea that I was with someone who was like basically doing something out of a film.
That is out of a film. That's amazing. A mate of mine, friend of the podcast, Chris, was grounded for I think 6 months at one point. And it was upheld. It was upheld. Yeah.
That explains a lot.
For having a party at his house that I organised.
You should have served half of it.
How would I what? I lived in his house. The logistics of it made no sense. But he had a lot of respect for serving that 6 months' time. You know, he was a maverick. And then the night out after that 6 months...
They're there to give him another 6 months.
Yeah, minimum. They chucked him in juvie. We haven't seen him since. All I get is these film ideas sent to me every now and again. Little prison letters.
Yeah, he posts them to you, doesn't he?
Yeah, of course. John, Harry, should we do our own film ideas?
Yes, please. I would like to go first this week.
Okay.
This week, I would like to pitch the fact that the president of Nintendo is a man called Doug Bowser. And for those of you who don't know, the three people listening who don't know, Bowser is the bad guy in the Mario franchise. So it's not much of a stretch to imagine.
Who doesn't know that?
This is Bowser, right?
He's done it. He's infiltrated it.
Yeah.
What, you think he's going to pull off the mask and he's going to be Bowser?
Yeah, and he's going to make a game called Super Bowser Bros.
Would love that. He's posted a tweet where, in the background of the tweet, Mario and Luigi are tied up rope or whatever.
We're never going to see a Mario or Luigi game ever again.
We might, but they'll be losers.
Super Bowser Kart.
I'm not against this. This is completely geeky, but if it means we get another WarioWare game, let him do what he wants.
Bowserware.
Yeah, but he likes...
Oh, because they're in cahoots.
Are they in cahoots? You never see that. But they must be.
I saw this is ages ago. This is probably even like before... Maybe it was a tweet or maybe it was like something on like bloody Imgur or something. But something that I saw that really made me laugh, and whenever anyone talks about Mario characters, I can't unthink it, mm-hmm. is that if Sonic was a Nintendo game, the baddie would be called Wah Sonic.
That's really funny.
And I mean, that's better than the film I did. But yeah, basically, rips off his suit at some point, reveals he's Bowser. Turns out every single Nintendo game for the next 20 years is just a variation. Not even Mario games anymore. So
Nintendo becomes fundamentally evil.
The legend of Bowser, Ocarina of Bowser.
Of baby Bowser.
Yeah. What other Nintendo games are there? Metroid Bowser. It's going to be great. I think as a player, I think it's going to be great. Morally, it's probably less cool.
Yeah, but Bowser hasn't got morals.
Exactly.
He kidnaps women.
It's true.
Maybe is he going to do that? That's less fun.
Wait, real life Bowser is going to start kidnapping real life princesses?
Yeah, as long as they're called Peach.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
So only the Princess of Norway is to worry.
Is that what she's called?
No, it's good though. It's a good idea though, isn't it? Maybe we should change
it. It'd be worrying if there was a CEO called Bowser and a Princess Peach out in the world. I started to think that maybe reality wasn't all it was cracked up to be.
You've been the
lines, the streams have crossed or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm out there in a Mario game somewhere.
As a Goomba.
Oh, mate.
What do you want to be?
You think more of me than that, don't you?
What would you like to be?
A little toad.
I envisage you as more of a Birdo character or whatever that guy's called, the pink Yoshi with the big beak. Anyway.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
What's your idea, Joe?
Yoshi's sexy friend.
That's your film idea.
Yeah, it's a bit of a coincidence, but I've actually got written here, Yoshi's sexy friend. My film idea from me is four weddings and a death at a funeral.
Death at a funeral. That's the thing.
It's a film.
Yeah.
But I think it's like an old film that's been remade and stuff.
Yeah.
And four weddings. So these four weddings happen at a funeral. And here's what I'm thinking.
The weddings happen at a funeral? The
four weddings and a death at a funeral.
Oh, right.
It's the film title. Yeah. It's pretty clever. Basically, this person has died, it's their funeral, and everyone wants in on the will. And so people are marrying into this family, but they have to do it on the day of the funeral.
Yeah.
First one to get married claims the will.
Oh, yeah. Sick.
Yeah, and then you realise that on the day. So they have to, all four of them, it's like an apprentice task, have to assemble a wedding in super fast time and prove it's happening. So they decide to have it in the same place as the funeral, and then they can claim the fortune. But each one is trying to jeopardise the other one's wedding.
I mean, it sounds like an excellent bit of reality TV.
Sounds like a good film, doesn't
it? Put it on an island.
Yeah, I know one.
Is the coffin made out of chocolate?
Don't find that out at a funeral. A bit of advice. You're going to an open casket funeral soon. Very sorry to hear that. Don't bite the coffin. You'll be thinking about it now. Don't bite the coffin.
Who would be better
But think about it. When it disappears into those flames, lovely bit of fondue.
Who would be better at carrying the coffin, Neymar or 100 children?
And I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. And we know it's the end of the show because there's a knock, knock, knock at the studio door. And entering, well, we're not sure. It could be one of two people entering the
studio. I can hear the hundreds of tiny footsteps.
Of Neymar. There we go, John.
Hello.
That was a good podcast, I thought.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
There were thrills, there were spills, there were gaffes, there were guffs, there were...
It was the breathing that we did.
It was that breathing exercise. I feel quite... Do you feel energised by it?
I'm off my nut on
energy. You're shaking in your seat.
on air.
The story of poo on my hand.
Oh, yeah.
I went and did the stadium tour of Barcelona.
Yeah.
They're a football team, John. One of the most impressive stadiums in world football. And I'm walking. It's a big tour, right? I've done a tour of Cholton, my team.
Yeah.
There's not an awful lot to see on that tour.
Yeah.
But the Barcelona tour, you go into the trophy room, you're like, fucking hell, it's like 200 metres long or something. So you're in this for quite a long time. And look, I had to do a poo. It's only natural.
Yeah, well,
that's fine.
Yep.
You know?
You didn't back then, of delicious tapas.
Back then, my metabolism was one of the best around, I think. Honestly, I think it was one of the best. I think for a short period, I was in probably the top 5% metabolisms in the UK.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I was just... I was basically pooing stuff out before I'd even eaten it. Anyway, I had to go. So I went to a loo. in the new camp. And it was kind of like on the concourse between the tour and the stadium and the stand. And I'm in there, do my business. Great. Had a lovely time. Ready to return to the tour. Good. Can't wait. Got my mate waiting for me. Look to the loo roll holder. Nada. Zilch. One of the richest, biggest football teams in world football. Not even checking in the loo roll situation.
But how do you make a million, eh?
Cutbacks. Now, what is the thing? You can't get rich by being
by spending
frugal.
Too much on charming.
No, someone says that you can't get rich by not spending money.
So,
it's like a famous thing. You won't become a millionaire by...
I thought it was count the pennies and the pounds.
Nah, but apparently
you should go the opposite.
No, you shouldn't
spend
loads.
The pounds.
But the idea is that like worrying about money isn't how you become rich.
All right, fine.
Anyway, I mean, this isn't
no,
what this podcast is. It's mostly about poo. and I look and there's no loo roll. I'm thinking shit.
Yeah.
I'm literally thinking, shit, what am I going to do about this shit? And as people in the loo, I can hear them hustling and bustling, using the urinal, you know, checking themselves out in the mirror, carefree. Eventually they go and it's empty. I think to myself, right, there's another cubicle next to this one. I'm going to go for it. So when the coast is clear, I open the door and I scuttle around to the other cubicle with the trousers around my ankles.
Wow.
Knob out.
No way.
No, not fully knob out. And I get in, I sit down and I breathe the biggest sigh of relief because it was pretty nerve-wracking at that point.
I can imagine.
Sit down.
This is
a
film.
I did it. Looked. No Lou Roy in that cubicle either. Yeah. And as I mentioned earlier, the new James Bond film is called Shatterhand.
There we go.
So there you go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.